From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. For most of 5 years, hard-right conservatives and President Bush have stood shoulder to shoulder. They were his base, his margin of victory, and he was their famously born-again champion. Even as deficits grew, a war looked badly managed, and social issues took a back seat. Then came Harriet Myers and the president's trust me on the Supreme Court, and the White House hard-right marriage hit the rocks. The charge is betrayal. Focus on the Family's James Dobson is on board only after getting high-level assurances on Myers' views on abortion.
It was leaked to the media that I've had conversations with Karl Rove in the White House, which is true. And so just all in all, I am asking now for the prayers of God's people, asking that I would not make a mistake here.
In the Senate, conservative standard bearer Sam Brownback was a tougher sell.
She's a very decent lady. I think she's an accomplished woman. But to me, the core issue is how is a person going to rule on these key issues and their view of the Constitution?
And beyond those slim bridges, there is fury. Conservatives angry, insulting, and wondering where to turn. I should say insulted. This hour on Point, anger on the right with George W. Bush. We begin in Washington, where Harriet Myers isn't the only political hot potato for the administration. There's news today on Karl Rove and the Valerie Plame investigation. Yesterday, an arrest warrant was issued for Tom DeLay. Peter Baker is White House reporter for The Washington Post. He joins me now. Peter, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Take us through some of these quickly. Karl Rove and Louis Libby, Scooter Libby, the vice president's top aide. What's the latest news there?
Well, we're told that Karl Rove told the grand jury in this investigation that one of the two people who told him about Valerie Plame, the wife of the Bush critic Joe Wilson, mm-hmm. was in fact Scooter Libby. This is interesting on a number of levels. Of course, it suggests a level of discussion among the various White House people about this that goes beyond simply a casual, mention of this in a conversation with a reporter. And it also makes you wonder about, whether or not Libby faces even more trouble than we had suspected.
The prosecutor Fitzgerald or investigator here has the opportunity to come out with indictments. What's the schedule on that? We don't know if that will happen, but if he does, when might it be?
Well, we don't know for sure. It's his choice, but if he wants to use the grand jury that he's been using for most of this investigation, their mandate expires on October 28th, and it does seem like he wants to finish by then. He said the other day that he wants to make announcement of whatever his conclusion is in Washington. He's a Chicago-based prosecutor. The fact that he said he wanted to make it in Washington made everybody suspect that he wants, therefore, to finish up with this grand jury by the end of its term. But that's speculation. We don't know for sure.
Down Pennsylvania Avenue, more trouble, at least at the drama level, for Tom DeLay. An arrest warrant now. What will that mean for Tom DeLay?
Well, it's a matter of embarrassment, really. You know, the process of fingerprinting and mugshots and all that kind of stuff, making him out as if he was a common criminal, as opposed to a victim of a political witch hunt, which is the way he's portraying
mm-hmm.
himself.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly ratchets up the the political stakes and the symbolism of this case, and you could question whether or not it's necessary, but it certainly provides a very arresting, if you will, visual.
Definitely. And on the Harriet Myers front, what about this nomination, Peter Baker? George Bush famously sticks with decisions and nominees. Is he going to stick with this one, or is it in serious trouble?
Well, I it's certainly having a troubled confirmation process, no question about it. But anybody who watches George Bush over these last almost 5 years, you know, he doesn't generally tend to withdraw nominations like this simply because of some opposition. Remember, the people who are opposing it are, you know, pundits and activists and so forth. None of them has a vote in the Senate. So, some of the senators have expressed some discomfort on the right, but none of them have said they would vote against her, and I think he's banking on the idea that in the end, you know, the vast majority of Republican senators aren't going to cross their own president when push comes to shove.
And Peter Baker, you're there in the White House. You're watching the Bush administration look out at the dissension among conservative Republicans, really brought to a boil by the Myers nomination. How serious does the White House see this being? Do they think they've got a real problem on their hands in their base, or not? That this is a storm that will pass.
Well, it is a serious issue. This is the Hurricane Katrina of the political conservative movement at the moment. He's never had at this in his presidency such a rupture with his own base, and it goes deeper than Myers. Myers sort of set off an accumulation of frustration from many conservatives who've been upset with things that they see as overspending or other decisions that they haven't appreciated in the past, and all of that sort of bubbling to the surface.
Can the president govern without that wing of his party?
Well, at the moment, he doesn't have a lot else to fall back on. His numbers in the polls, in some polls, have fallen below 40% approval rating, and therefore you have to suspect that the 38 or 37% that are still with him generally are, you know, the most core Republican voters. So if they're alienated as well, that's a real danger for him. But there's also not a lot of evidence yet that this anger goes beyond the elite leaders of this movement in Washington, as opposed to the rank and file out in the broader country. That's sort of the next step. Does it translate into popular discontent among everyday conservatives in the United States?
We're going to look at just that in this hour. Peter Baker, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Peter Baker, White House reporter for The Washington Post, who spoke with us from Washington. We are talking this hour about anger on the hard right and conservative Republicans reconsidering the Bush White House. You can join the conversation. Can this marriage be saved? Is it really in trouble? Conservatives, do you feel betrayed by George Bush on deficits, on war management, on Harriet Myers? And Democrats, what do you see in the GOP blow-up? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Joining me now from the NPR studio in Washington is Richard Viguerie, longtime conservative activist, Republican strategist, and a pioneer in direct mail political campaigning. His books include America's Right Turn and The New Right, We're Ready to Lead. His website is conservativehq.com. Richard Viguerie, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Tom.
Also with us from the NPR studios there is Jessica Eckhart, executive director of the Eagle Forum, a conservative grassroots organization founded by Phyllis Schlafly in 1972. Jessica, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Tom.
So, Richard, let me come to you right off the bat. Peter Baker says this is a tempest in the teapot of conservative elites. It's not clear that the disenchantment over what's going on extends beyond the Beltway. What do you say?
Tom, first of all, I want to take strong exception to your repeated use of the word hard right. I've made a count four times in the last few minutes. I know NPR is sensitive about showing bias, and I bet if you go back and check how many times you've used the word hard left, you might be hard-pressed to find one example of it. So we're not the hard right. We are the conservative movement. We are the base of the Republican Party. We are basically a majority in this country. Two and a half times as many people identify themselves with the conservative issues rather than the liberals. So,
Mr. Viguerie, I'm glad you raised. I'm glad you raised it, because one thing I wanted to ask you right off the bat was to define terms here, and to help us understand if it does break out in different fragments here, what portion of President Bush's base you see as being unhappy right now? How would you describe it? Define it.
Well, I think that the vast majority of the conservative movement is disillusioned. Not everybody is going to break with the president over this, but below the surface, Tom, for most of this president's administration, going back to 2001, conservatives have kind of bit their tongue and been unhappy with the increase of size of government, spending, not very many conservatives, quite frankly, in key positions in the administration, certainly in the second term, there are very, very few. Immigration policy, we just go on and on. Conservatives were very, very disappointed in many, many policies of this president. Some, of course, were very pleased with, tax cuts, etc. But everybody said, you know, as important as those issues are, we're just going to bite our tongue, so to speak, and because we're going to get the courts. We're going to get the control of the Supreme Court for the first time in our life. And now we get, in a short period of time, two openings on the Supreme Court, and not one of them did he give us a person who has a demonstrated record of being a conservative as a nominee here. And, you know, there was a time when Clinton came to office, all nine members of the Supreme Court were Republicans. Right now, seven of the nine were appointed by Republicans. And it just seems like there's no end. We're just disappointed by Eisenhower and Nixon and Ford and George Bush, the 41st's appointments, now the 43rd. Why is it that Republican presidents run from a ideological fight in the direction of the courts?
Jessica Eckhart, within the Eagle Forum, what's the attitude on the Harriet Myers nomination? How big a problem is it for you?
Well, indeed, this is a disappointment for us and for our members across the country. And I would agree that this is not just a pundit's being disappointed, as well a columnist. It's actually widespread in the conservative movement. President Bush campaigned on judges. It was the reason that so many of the values voters went to the polls. And we're seeing again and again that across the conservative base that judges are the problem. Whether it's tax increases being ordered by judges in states such as Washington and Kansas, or whether it's First Amendment, the campaign finance reform, or traditional values questions such as marriage and any other issues that you can think of, judges are really the problem. So I think that this issue definitely goes across President Bush's base.
Jessica Eckhart, Richard Viguerie, please stand by. We've got to take a short break here. We're talking about anger on the right, George Bush's conservative base charging betrayal. You can join us. Can this marriage be saved? Do you believe it's really in trouble? Conservative Republicans, do you feel betrayed by George Bush? Who's been using whom here? We're at 1-800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking about anger on the right, George Bush's conservative base charging betrayal over the Harriet Myers nomination, and maybe more. You can join the conversation this hour between record deficits, a troubled war, and the Myers bobble. Has George Bush delivered for the right? What do you think is going on right now in this tempest? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Among conservatives denouncing the Myers nomination has been Pat Buchanan. Here he says President Bush is risking his legacy and more.
This White House has ducked a fight. It has backed away from a fight. The president has recoiled from greatness. He has retreated from Reaganism into the old politics of compromise and consensus on what, for us, was the greatest issue of his second term. I think, in a minor matter, he has probably risked his legacy. But more important, he has risked what some of us have fought for 40 years since I was with Richard Nixon.
Pat Buchanan, with us this hour from the NPR studios in Washington, Richard Viguerie, longtime conservative activist, direct mail, political campaign advisor, consultant, pioneer, co-author of America's Right Turn, and also with us from Washington, Jessica Eckhart, executive director of the Eagle Forum. Recoiled from greatness is Pat Buchanan's phrase. Richard Viguerie, he's a phrase maker. But you've said that George Bush is now following in his father's footsteps, promising, not delivering. You've said he's thrown us overboard. What do you mean exactly?
First time I heard Pat say recoiled from greatness, I said, yeah, that's right. What, you know, Pat has a very unique way of saying these things, and it's true. He recoiled from greatness. This man, President Bush, desperately needs an ideological battle with the left, and he ran from the battle. You know, for 40 years, as Pat said, we've prepared for this battle, we've organized, we've got the organizations, we've got the troops, the financial resources are there, and as the battle is about to be joined, Bush calls off the battle. And anybody who's at 38-39% in the polls needs to change the subject, and he needs to get into an ideological battle with the left. And almost every time that we do that, conservatives, Republicans, come out on top. We've had election after election where a majority, albeit small, but a majority of the American people, congressional elections, presidential elections, say we want to go a conservative direction rather than a liberal direction. And why this president with so low a position in the polls would run from a fight that he desperately needs is a mystery.
We're looking here at job approval ratings falling by 10 points or more in the past 30 days in Texas, South Carolina, Mississippi, Tennessee, North Carolina, conservative states. Jessica Eckhart, how do you interpret the president's move on Harriet Myers? Just to look at the nomination for a moment, why do you think he went in this direction?
Well, we've seen over the past 5 years with President Bush that he values loyalty. He definitely values friendship. We saw that whenever the conservative movement made it clear that Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez would not be acceptable to us as a Supreme Court nominee. And we saw the fireworks that President Bush would put out in the media and the things that he would say, ridiculing the base for being critical of his friend. And so perhaps the Myers nomination is in this time where his poll numbers are down. He wants a friend. He wants someone he can trust, someone who he feels that he knows their heart, whereas most of the conservative base, we're not looking at your heart, your motivations as our top qualification for the Supreme Court. We're looking for a constitutional powerhouse who can defend and strictly interpret the Constitution as the founders intended.
And do you not believe, Jessica, that Harriet Myers, despite everything that's come out of the White House about her political leanings, about her religious views that the White House has made an issue of, do you not believe that she would stand with your conservative perspective on the bench?
Well, here's the interesting point, and several pundits and columnists have made this point, is that the conservative movement is based on merit. The conservative movement does not want just the right answer and just the right vote. We want someone who can prove it and who can argue and make our case on the Supreme Court. We have not seen a clear record of Ms. Myers being able to do that. There's not a very documented trail of her any type of writings that she's given that will lend us to believe she will be a constitutional powerhouse on the Supreme Court.
The Weekly Standard headline saying, is this still the GOP? Saying, quoting the Weekly Standard here, a conservative president has tapped a patently underqualified candidate and expressing horror at that. Richard Viguerie, you say the president should be reaching for an ideological battle right now. He's done that in the past, and it seems to have worked for him. Why do you think he's not this time?
Tom, I suspect the president, quite frankly, is politically off balance right now. He's got a lot on his plate. The Iraq war is going very poorly. Katrina problems, gas prices out of sight. He has many people some in the Republican Party, some in his administration have some serious legal problems. I think he's just politically off balance and combined with, I think, in my opinion, a serious character flaw in the president.
That being?
And that is, he only seems basically comfortable with people who are longtime Bush family loyalists. Fortunately for the Bush family, Ronald Reagan didn't take that approach. He reached out to his opponent in the primary, made him Vice President of the United States, to his opponent's campaign manager, made him Chief of Staff. No one can envision George Bush doing that. So I think the fact that Democrats have charged for some time that he's guilty of cronyism, I think it's beginning to look more and more fair, quite frankly. I think it's a serious flaw in his character that he won't reach out to people. As Ronald Reagan said, if you're with me 70% of the time, you're on my team.
Mm. That's a tough criticism from where you sit. I want to begin to bring in some callers here. Richard Viguerie, Jesse Eckhart, please stand by. Patrick is calling from Alexandria, Virginia. Hi, Patrick. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, good morning. I think Harriet Myers is really the last straw for many, many conservatives. I'm a lifelong conservative, and I have to tell you that from Harriet Myers to the prosecution of the Iraq war, to letting Rumsfeld convince him to go in on the cheap instead of taking the number of forces there to maintain good order after the victory was ridiculous. The allowing Ashcroft to have prayer meetings as Attorney General, to have prayer meetings in the public office of the Attorney General is religiously coercive. I don't care what anyone else says. The immigration policy of not doing anything to defend our southern border against the massive tide of immigration is not conservative.
So how do you interpret it, Patrick? How do you interpret this? George Bush got enormous support from conservative Americans. Where's the misreading?
The second time. And I mean, I just, you know, and I guess my distrust of the Democratic Party was so profound that I agreed that I made a deal with the devil to hold my nose and ignore my disaffection with Bush's policies. But he has been a disaster, and there's nothing about Bush that can be rationally said to be described as conservative.
And what now then, Patrick? If it's not George Bush, where do you go? What does a conservative like you turn?
One other thing that I would bring to note, which I object to tremendously, is this automatic equating the conservative element of the party with the religious right. I do not see the two as the same. The conservatism should save all the value of the fabric of the American Constitution, and there is very much of the religious right that is very, very intrusive. They would be quite happy, frankly, in my opinion, to have a religious state. They are Christian Talibans as much as anything could be described.
So there's another conservative angle. It's clearly no monolith here. Jessica Eckhart, where does your group come down on the place that religion, social values, moral values should play in Republican governance?
Well, the caller, I would take issue with him calling someone the Christian right the Christian Taliban. I don't think that's a fair characterization. At Eagle Forum, we are people of faith, and our members are people of faith, but some are also not of faith. And we take issue with the current discourse in the country of trying to push any type of speaking of God or including traditional moral values. I mean, that's a basic values across the board, whether or not you're a believer of a faith or not. However, there is a silver lining in all of this that I'm eager to get to, and that is that the conservative movement, this is a springboard for the conservative movement. This is an awakening that has needed to happen for years. Now that the conservative movement has organized and is strong and has media and financial resources, there's definitely been the temptation for it to move away from its foundation. And I believe that the nomination of Harriet Myers, along with several of the other missteps by President Bush on things like immigration and spending, is awakening the conservative movement, and that the judges are really uniting us, and we're going to go forward even stronger than ever after this.
Do you believe, as Richard Viguerie suggests, that the president should have gone for the full battle here, should have put forward a very conservative nominee and said, all right, Democrats, let's have it out, and simply won, muscled it through?
Absolutely. President Bush has shown a willingness to do that, just that thing, on other issues, such as his leadership over the Congress whenever he's holding votes open on things like Medicare and CAFTA for hours on end to strong arm folks to vote for his policies. And we are eager to see that type of strong leadership on the issue of judges that we care about. And the bench that we have in the conservative movement is deep, and there were plenty of well-qualified constitutionalist judges that were ready and willing to go before the Senate and be confirmed and start moving our Supreme Court back to the Constitution and away from judicial activism.
Let me take another call. Ed's calling from Andover, Massachusetts. Hi, Ed. You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. How are you? I think amen to what Patrick had to say. I frankly think, I mean, my personal feeling is that the shrub is a moron, but, you know, and I don't think what he does is defensible, but I think what you're saying, Jessica, is just is sour grapes. And my feeling is tough luck. If you don't like the fact that you can't dominate all three of the branches of government, well, I say get over it. Our lawyers are better than your lawyers for right now, and that's just the way it is.
Ed, I hear Jessica saying they could, and she's disappointed that George Bush didn't lead the fight to that dominance.
Well, they certainly can try, but we still have a filibuster in the Senate, and we can still make their lives miserable. And that's, frankly, democracy. And she just needs to get over it for a little while. You know, Harriet Myers might not be a great nominee, but she's certainly better than some of the other people they could have put up. And I think she might be a little bit more tolerant. And certainly our Constitution expects some modicum of tolerance. You know, one of the things you learn is that you don't just flip things 90 degrees overnight in the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is a very measured, studied body. They think about things very carefully, and their arguments in the last 20 years, for the most part, with the exception of Hamdan and Hamdi and a few other cases, have been fairly rational. and they come at things with a very measured approach.
So watch out. Don't try to just flip it overnight. Ed, thanks for your call. Richard Viguerie, what about this? This goes to your notion, again, that Republicans should push for the ideological battle. The caller says, look, don't try to flip the Supreme Court overnight. But you're saying, yes, do. That's what President Bush's base expects.
No one said flip the Supreme Court overnight, Tom. What we're talking about is that as long as I have, or for many decades, mm-hmm. the American people have been voting conservative significantly more than liberals. Election after election, they say they want to go in a conservative direction. And, you know, there is... I think one of the mistakes this White House has made is say they're trying to find people who can be confirmed by the Senate. Well, you don't have to have your first nominee confirmed, or your second, or your third. There's a political solution to this problem, and it's called elections. And that's one of the reasons why Tom Daschle lost his Senate election in 2004, because he held up President Bush's judge appointments. And so let's have a discussion. Let's have a debate. Do we want to have government-sanctioned same-sex marriage? Do we want to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance? Do we want to ignore private property rights? Do we want affirmative action? Let's have that discussion and the debate in the country and let the voters decide. We've had that debate to a certain extent, and the voters have come down on the conservative side. And so the president, I think, is making a mistake by thinking he needs to find someone who can be confirmed. If they're not confirmed, this world will keep turning and the country will be okay with 8 justices on the Supreme Court, or even 7. And then we'll have an election in a year, and let the voters decide.
Jessica Eckhart, Peggy Noonan has written recently that Harriet Myers needs to basically step aside. She says, this marriage can be saved, she writes, but only if there's dramatic action taking. She describes a couple of options. One, she calls the full Tim McCarthy. That was the Secret Service agent who took the bullet for Ronald Reagan outside the Washington Hilton years ago. Peggy Noonan says, Harriet Myers, withdraw your name and be a hero for doing it. Or she says, White House, appoint her to a lower bench seat, not the Supreme Court, but on some kind of lower court. Do you think Harriet Myers needs to step aside?
Well, at this point, that is the most politically and responsible thing to do for the president that she so loyally has served and continues to be in admiration for. The question really is, will the promise that President Bush made to appoint justices in the mold of Scalia and Thomas be fulfilled? And we're continuing, the conservative movement is continuing to hold that promise out there and urge President Bush to fulfill it, because we are in the very battle for self-government here. The Supreme Court, as well as federal courts across the country, have usurped the will of the people, and the conservative movement is no longer going to stand for that, and we are uniting behind the idea that the people and the people's will should be the basis for our government, instead of unelected judges who are ruling by judicial fiat.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Richard Viguerie in the New Republic. New Republic, no conservative publication, but anyway, Jonathan Chait, an interesting analysis here. He says the basic question is whether Bush has been a genuine ally of social conservatives in this country, or have social conservatives been duped by the GOP. He comes down on the dupe side. Are you ready to go that far?
I would not take strong exception with that. I wrote a book about first President Bush, and it was titled Lip Service. And I think, unfortunately, for as long as I can remember, the Republican presidents, and it goes back to Eisenhower, have given lip service to perhaps most conservative issues. And starting with my... starting with Ronald Reagan, who I was very fond of, he did give lip service, quite frankly, to these social issues, as did George Bush the 41st and the 43rd. So Lou Cannon, the well-known Washington Post reporter, a close follower of Ronald Reagan, a few days before Reagan was sworn in as president in 1981, asked an anonymous high-ranking Reagan official, soon to be, as to what they were going to give the moral majority types, those social issue conservatives that had been so instrumental in the nomination and election of the president-elect Ronald Reagan. And he said a profound, he had a profound statement. He says, we'll tell you what we're going to give him. We're going to give him symbolism. And for the most part, for the next 25 years, that's what the social issue conservatives have been given symbolism. And Jessica is exactly right. The conservative movement has an opportunity now to reinvent itself and come alive. We've been dormant for too long, and I think that's the real story to watch as we go forward here, what happens with the conservative movement.
Richard Viguerie, Jessica Eckhart, stand by. We've got to take a short break. Listeners, you can join us. If George Bush doesn't have the hard right, what does he have? And if the right isn't satisfied with President Bush, will their own clout recede? Are the conservatives now too far from the mainstream, or can they put a true believer in the White House in 2008? 1-800-423-8255.
Support for On Point comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston. Bicon Dental Implants, offering short implants that can eliminate the need for bone grafting. Information is available at Bicon.com, BICON.com. And Private Wealth Management at Babson Capital. For more than 60 years, helping clients build and preserve wealth through financial planning, investment management, and trust services. In Cambridge and on the web at BabsonCapital.com.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about anger on the right, the new conservative Republican fury with the Bush White House. You can join us. 1-800-423-8255 is the number. We've been joined from NPR Studios in Washington by Jessica Eckhart, Executive Director of the Eagle Forum, by Richard Viguerie, longtime conservative activist, direct mail political campaigning pioneer, co-author of America's Right Turn. His website is conservativehq.com. We're joined right now from Houston, Texas, by David Hill. He's director of Hill Research Consultants. It's a Texas-based firm, polled for GOP candidates and causes since 1988. Client list, a long list of Republican luminaries, heavyweights Tom DeLay, Jeb Bush, Dan Quayle, Elizabeth Dole, Catherine Harris. David Hill, thanks for being with us.
Good morning.
What is your sense, sir, of what's going on here on the right? Is this a serious split up? Is this a marriage in trouble? Is this a temporary thing that will blow over?
No, I want to kind of get us back to reality here. I know that there are some conservative special interest groups in Washington that are upset with the president. That's their job, is to be advocates and to try to keep the president on the straight and narrow. But the fact of the matter is that heartland American conservatives are still very four squarely behind this president. There was a recent national poll conducted by the Pew Research Center, certainly no friend of the Bush administration. When they released the results of this poll, the title was Discontent with Bush and the State of the Nation Ever Higher. But in looking at the crosstabs from their poll, mm-hmm. we find that among self-described conservative Republicans, we still find that President Bush has an 87% approval rating, which is just as high, really, as he's had at just about any time during his administration. So Main Street conservative Republicans still are behind this president.
So you think this is eyewash. What about the job approval numbers that seem to go down and down? If that core, if that base is still there, how do the overall numbers swoon like this?
Well, it's just because clearly when the president started out his administration, his appeals to, for instance, compassionate conservatism had a great deal of appeal to some Democrats, centrist Democrats, unaffiliated conservatives, and so some of that was allowing him to build a little larger coalition working across the aisle than he's able to do today because of events like his hard stand against Islamic terrorism in the Middle East and some other positions that he's taken. A lot of the middle ground Democrats and independents have moved away from the president, and so therefore we do see unprecedented, historically kind of low overall approval numbers. But that notwithstanding, he still has the support of his conservative and Republican base.
Jessica Eckhart, David Hill would put you back in that elite kind of pundit lobbying category and saying if you really get out there to Main Street, conservatives are behind this president.
Well, I've never been called an elite ever in my life, so this is a new day for me. But I would think that most folks out there, we want to like President Bush. We want to support him. He's a likable guy. He identifies with a lot of middle America when we see him out there on his ranch and clearing brush. And I think that folks want to be supportive of President Bush. I would just say that this is not what Mr. Hill is referring to, is not reflecting in our constituency. We're seeing definitely an uprising of folks that are disappointed with his leadership. And so I would say that's not what we're finding in our membership.
And Richard Vigory, same question to you. You're a high-powered strategist. Is it just in your tier that this unhappiness is swelling?
No. Mr. Hill did not identify the time of this poll, and I suspect that if you were to do a poll now, you would show a great deal less support for the president. And I think, again, as Jessica said, what's happening now is a real rethinking by conservatives at the national, state, and local level about, is their future really with the Republican Party as it's so constituted? Do we need to do what Barry Goldwater said back in 1960? Do we need to go out and take over the Republican Party? Because the Republican Party, quite frankly, has been hijacked by big government, country club type Republicans who believe in big government, big spending, a corporate America type approach.
But it was only last fall that the line across the country was just the opposite, that this was the conservatives' moment, even the evangelical conservatives' moment, and the country club Republicans were banished.
Well, I'm not sure I would go that far, but as I said at the beginning of the broadcast, Tom, we all bit our tongue because we were focused on getting control of the courts. The courts have taken America in a direction never conceived of, not only by our founding fathers, but people who have governed this country for the last 200 years. And I think people like Dave, who are closely associated with Republican leadership in the House and in the White House, are whistling past the graveyard if they think that this is a tempest in a teapot with a handful of conservatives. This goes from the national level across the country to the grassroots. There is anger, and I think you're going to see a story develop here that the media missed, quite frankly, in the 60s and 70s. They didn't see the conservative movement coming, and they were the wave of the future, not the new left that they were hyping back in the 60s and 70s.
David Hill, I know we have you just for another minute. How do you think this conversation is going to feed into the midterm elections and into the 2008 presidential race?
Well, I really think that the 2008 presidential race is what we're hearing this morning. We have, like, groups in Washington who are special interest groups. They represent maybe 10% of Republicans, 10% of conservatives. They feel very strongly about their views, and they want their views to be respected in the political marketplace. So we have, waiting in the wings, half a dozen Republican presidential candidates, Bill Frist, George Allen, John McCain, so on and so forth, all ready to enter the fray of battle. And I think these special interests want to send a message loud and clear to these prospective Republican candidates. You better toe the line. You better carry our water. You better listen to us. We didn't even think Ronald Reagan was conservative enough. And that way they think that they'll have more influence over the ultimate outcome of that 2008 presidential nominating process.
Setting the bar on a high conservative ledge from in a high dudgeon. David Hill, joining us from Houston today, Director of Hill Research Consultants. Thanks a lot for being with us, Mr. Hill.
Thank you.
Let me take a call. Elaine is calling from Arlington, Virginia. Hi, Elaine. You're on the air.
Thank you so much, and pardon my cold.
Not at all.
I hope that with the quote I just heard from one of your speakers there, that everybody within the sound of NPR has a chill going up their spine.
A chill in what direction?
It is, I mean, talking about getting control of the courts of this country, it's this group of people who are trying to hijack this nation. They don't know their history. This country was constructed to have three separate units in its government, two of them elected, one of them not. Why do you suppose they did it this way? Sir, the founding fathers are running, I mean, they're turning in their graves at this point.
But over time, I mean, a country has a political complexion. It may change over time. Our guest this morning would like it to change in a more conservative direction, and there's been a lot of progress in that direction by their view. They wanted to go further.
It has a right to have a political direction. But one of the things our founding fathers were escaping from was just this kind of control factor. Your caller that said something about a Taliban in the courts is right on it. What are we going to give the moral majority? No one, no elected official in this country has the right to give the court system to one particular branch. It is totally anathema to the American form of government. It is absolutely outlandish for them to expect to be given the courts because they won a particular election.
Elaine, we've got it and we hear it, and yet politics churns its course. Richard Viguerie, Elaine doesn't want that victory that you're thirsting for. She says it's un-American. What do you say to that?
Well, it's interesting. She said throughout the NPR audience, so I guess Elaine thinks the entire NPR audience is populated with nothing but liberals, and I suspect that.
Oh, I doubt that.
No, I agree. I don't think so. And just very quickly, Tom, David Hill talked about conservative groups as a special interest groups. I mean, what an outrage to say that the backbone of the Republican Party, the base of the Republican Party, is just a special interest groups. That is just a very sad thinking about how the people who have brought the Republican Party to the majority in this country in election after election, and it's because of the base of the Republican Party, which is the people who want lower taxes, less government involvement in our life. We want make sure religion is not taken out of the public arena and relegated to a reservation of church on for an hour on Sunday. These are the people that he's being critical of.
May I ask you about that in particular, Mr. Viguerie? Is it possible? I mean, you've pointed even back to Ronald Reagan and saying we got lip service. George Bush the senior, lip service. And now you're saying that of George W. Bush. You're saying it's time for the sort of the battle royal here and we can win it. But these are politicians who are no fools. Is it possible that what they're seeing is, you know what, in fact, mainstream America won't accept this as the sort of dominant ethos of the country? We've got to sort of play it a little looser than that. Is it possible that the right will marginalize itself and send itself back out of political power by sticking to a kind of hard line on its ambitions?
Well, that may be the wish of some people, but that's not the history of elections for many decades. The American people in election after election say we want to go in a conservative direction.
But the men they've elected, you've said, have ultimately given lip service, not the real deal. So yeah. maybe that's what Americans want, is a more conservative complexion, but not the full Monty here.
Well, I would say that the president, who has moved in a centrist, left-of-center direction on many of the important issues of the day, is now at 39%. And so I think you'd ask his supporters, why, as he has moved left since the election, is he now at 39%? If he would move right, he might get back up to a majority position.
Gordon, Jessica, yes.
Yes, may I get in here for a second? I'd
sure.
like to respond to the caller that was just on a few moments ago, and she was talking about it sending a chill up everyone's spine that the courts should be, that any political branch should give power. Well, in fact, the courts have taken power. There's no one that's giving them power. They are taking it. And I'd like to bring up a recent poll, which was commissioned by the ABA, which said that a majority of Americans agree with the statements that judicial activism has reached a crisis, that judges are ignoring traditional morality, that judges are arrogant and out of control and unaccountable. And that's a majority of Americans. That's not Americans that are afraid of their judiciary becoming controlled by right-wing zealots, as some are
saying.
Saying,
back to our caller, yes, we want the White House and Congress and the courts. We want to move in a dramatically different direction. That's your message.
Our message is that we want America to be ruled by self-government, and the courts have taken away the will of the people on issues such as the Pledge of Allegiance, the Boy Scouts, traditional marriage, the Ten Commandments. No matter what your issue is, the courts are usurping the will of the people and unelected judges are enforcing their will and their idea of what America should be rather than what the actual American people are asking for.
But, of course, you know that those moves on the part of the court are seen by many Americans, millions of Americans, as progress, as the country moving toward the fulfillment of its kind of liberal, basis. That is, that this is acting on the kind of evolution of American democracy. This is where it ought to go. What do you say to those people, Jessica, that they should, it's time for them to get in the back seat now?
Well,
that,
they're in a very small minority.
Is it so small? President Bush didn't. Well, no, I didn't. I didn't say majority, but President Bush did not win by that many.
Well. Look at the polls in terms of who supports saying under God and the Pledge of Allegiance. That's a 90% issue across America. Look at the posting the Ten Commandments in public buildings. That's a 70% issue. Traditional marriage amendments are passing all across the country and are passing by wide majorities. I think the lowest majority was in Oregon by 58%. So there's no way these issues are somehow just a few of us on the right saying that we want to control our courts. This is the majority of Americans, a vast majority, who want to keep traditional values and morals in our country, and the judges are taking power and usurping it and overruling the will of the American people.
I want to get our callers in here. Gordon's calling from Panama City, Florida. Hi, Gordon. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you. I'm driving down the road listening to this discussion, and I hear, and I'm a conservative, and I voted for George Bush. I'd vote for him again if he could run again. But I'm hearing everybody's not on the same page. People are tired of hearing about polls taken here and polls taken there. Nobody believes the polls, the percentages. One fellow there said 87% of the heartland conservatives approve of George Bush. And then the other lady says, our polls.
Yeah, different numbers. But you're saying, Gordon, he's not letting you down. You're still on board, even with Harriet Myers. No problem.
On board, but I'm. What we're doing to ourselves, if we're trying to unite here to have a if you will, a conservative party or a conservative group, we need to get on the same page. Other people are listening to this program also, and I just found it totally ridiculous. This poll here, this poll there.
Yeah, they sure are listening. I have no doubt of that. Gordon, we thank you for your call. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Let me get one more here. I want to turn to line two, if I may, and Pat, who's calling from Waynesboro, Pennsylvania. Let's see if we can turn to Pat here. Pat, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Our time is short. Pat, what's on your mind?
Two sentences. If this program this morning and listening to your guests doesn't energize the base of my party, the Democratic Party, to go out and change the direction that this country has taken in the last 5.5 years, nothing will. Listening to Mr. Vigory particularly energized me more than ever to go out and change the direction of this country.
Pat, we hear it, and our time is so short. I appreciate your calling. Richard Vigory, does it have to come to a battle royal here? Is there no middle ground for this country? Can the country take that, the path that you want?
That's for the American people to say, quite frankly. But one of the things that's very discouraging, Tom, is that I think this is a black eye for the whole political process. The American people have become very jaundiced about American politicians. And once again, we see an important political figure break a high-level promise to the American people. The President Bush's father did it with no new taxes. And we just see president after president, senators, governors, politicians at all levels break their promises to the American people. And that's not good for the political process. We need people who of integrity to be elected to office and to keep their promises.
We hear the hunger for your vision out there. We hear the pushback. What a fascinating array. Richard Vigory, it's wonderful to have you with us this morning. Thanks for your candor and your time. We appreciate you joining us. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
And Jessica Eckhart, Executive Director of the Eagle Forum in Washington this morning. Thank you very much as well for being with us, Jessica.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
On Point is a production of WBUR Boston and NPR, National Public Radio.